Welcome, everybody. Good to see you again. Take your seats. Yes, please turn with me to the Book of Jonah, page 1127. You were only gone for two Sundays, John. Lord, thank you for your word. You have taught us already so much from the life of Jonah, and there's still much more to learn. It's such a huge blessing to us. I pray that we would honor you by reading it and following it and memorizing it. And Lord, today I pray that we would honor you by listening to it, that we would hear you speaking into our lives, that we would realize that the origin of what is said comes from you and not just from me. And so we ask your blessing. Spirit of God, be the teacher today. You're the one who makes a difference. And honor Christ as the Word of God. Lord, you're the one who reveals the Father to us. And just pray that today we may see the Father in his glory, may see the Son in his glory, that we may know the Holy Spirit in his glory as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's. I'm going to read from chapter 1, verse 1. I'm not going back, not to worry, but there is something in verse 1 that I want to look at again. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh, preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Now chapter 3. And then the word of the Lord, verse 1, came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. And Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. And on the first day, Jonah started into the city, and he proclaimed, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overturned. And the Ninevites believed God. Today, I want to look at the theme of the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord that came to Jonah. And I want us to just remember that, you know, we read the word of God, but we are reading about people's experiences. Jonah experienced the word of the Lord coming to him. We read the word of the Lord came to him. And so today what I want us to just imagine is that Jonah is sitting around a table with a lot of different people with many different views on the word of God, and that he's going to speak into people's lives, into people's worldviews and experiences about the Word of God. How would he address people's ideas about the Word of God today? Now notice, his experience is described in very simple terms, right? The Word of the Lord came to Jonah. The Word of the Lord came to him. And the same is said of Micah and Zephaniah and Zechariah and Joel and Hosea and Abraham and many others. If you read about their lives when they heard from God, there's just this simple, the word of the Lord came to. They experienced the word of the Lord. Now, the Lord has many ways of communicating to his people. And some, they heard the Lord speak audibly, out loud. We assume that Adam and Eve, that was the case with them. For others, like Obadiah, it came in the form of a vision. It said the word of the Lord came in a vision. Sometimes the word of the Lord comes to people through dreams. You remember Joseph, father of Jesus, or Pilate's wife. She says to Pilate, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." For others, the word of the Lord came through the teaching and the preaching of the word of God. And so the Ninevites, they heard the word of the Lord through Jonah, but it says that they believed God. In other words, it wasn't just Jonah who they heard God coming to them, the word of the Lord coming to them through Jonah. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us in terms of our conscience, for it talks about the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. So sometimes we hear the word of the Lord coming to us because of the work of the Spirit. Sometimes it says the Lord opens people's minds so that they will comprehend the truths of God. "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." I sometimes experience thoughts coming to me, and I would say that I believe Satan puts them there. I have to say sometimes and argue with the very thoughts in my mind and say, I reject these thoughts. I don't believe them. And it's like a battle in the mind. And if Satan can communicate into people's minds and thoughts, how much more can God communicate his thoughts to us as well? So I believe in the supernatural world, and that spiritual beings have access to our thoughts and to our minds. The word of the Lord can come to us. So Jonah, he would challenge anybody who says that God does not and never has spoken to people. There are millions of people around the world that would testify that the word of the Lord has come to them. Millions of people. It's been their experience that this is so. I think he would approve of Francis Schaeffer's title, one of his books, "God is there and he's not silent." God not only can communicate with people, he has communicated with people. He has let people know what his will is. And listen to the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He says to his readers, "I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord came to me." Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter 1:20. "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So, inspiration, revelation, is not simply about human insights or philosophical speculations or spiritual feelings about God. It's about God revealing, God speaking to his people. And so we cannot speak about God's perspective on things unless God first reveals his will and his ways to us. And so Jonah would challenge anybody who says God doesn't speak to people today. He would challenge them. With his experience even, he would say, the Lord speaks to people. The word of the Lord comes to his prophets, to his apostles, and to any who are open to hearing from the Lord. Now, there is, of course, a difference between the word of the Lord coming to prophets and apostles, because that word is universal. It's for all time. It's to be authoritative, and it's going to be different than when he speaks to us individually. But I want you to know that the Lord still speaks to us. I was reading a book, The Mystery of God's Providence, and in there, there's a story about a man who was woken up at about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and he told his wife, he said, "I just have this sense that God is telling me that I should go to our neighbor's home." I said, "Well, can't it wait? It's like 3 or 4 in the morning." And as he kept trying to put it off, the pressure was there for him to go. He heard, "Arise and go." And he wanted to be obedient to what he felt the Lord was saying to him. And he went to his neighbor's house and he said, "Neighbor, I have no idea why I'm here, but I felt that the Lord was calling me to come." And at that moment, the individual said to him, "Had you not come, I was ready to hang myself." The Lord speaks to his people when we are open and willing to hear from him. Now, I also heard an actor once say that what he loved about belonging to his religion was that he was never told what to do. That instead, he would get the support he needed to go on his own way. That God would always give him support. He would always say, "What do you want to do with your life?" And then he would help him and give him the support he needed. So that God, for this individual, whenever he spoke through positive feelings, but not words. No commands from on high. What would Jonah say? He would say, "Not so. When God speaks, he speaks his commands. He commands us. He said to me, 'Arise and go.'" He didn't ask me, "How would you feel about an assignment to Nineveh, Jonah?" When he speaks like a king. He speaks like a lord. He speaks like God. The Lord gives commands. And I would say that the normal Christian experience with the word of the Lord should involve us hearing the Lord speaking to us with commands and telling us what it is that he would have us to do. He's not just giving us suggestions. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." And Jonah would say, "Listen, when the Lord speaks, his commands are not vague, obscure, uncertain. They are clear and they are easy to understand. What part of go do you not understand?" Now, we may intentionally make God's word confusing, because often we just don't want to obey it. But Jonah would say, "From my experience, when the Lord wants us to do something, he's very clear on it. He's very clear. It's not difficult to understand. Granted, the Lord doesn't give us all the details, but we still can understand exactly what it is that he wants of us." Now, that doesn't mean that we can't ask questions of the Lord. We can. You know, if we read, "If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off," we want to ask questions. "Lord, literally?" As one person said, if that's the case, most of us wouldn't have a leg to stand on. His commands, he would say, come to us as urgent. Arise and go. He would say, "When I heard the word of the Lord, it was clear to me what was expected of me, that I was to obey, that I was to submit. And delayed obedience would be disobedience." When we hear the word of the Lord, it comes to us as a command. Friends, when you read the word, do you read it that way, or are you just looking for suggestions? The Lord is commanding his people. He's the Lord. Why do we call him Lord, Lord, and then not do what he tells us to do? So that's what Jonah would say. No, absolutely not. It's not just about positive feelings. It's about the word of the Lord coming to us as a command. Let me enter into a different conversation here. I once heard somebody say, I distrust people who know so well what God wants them to do because I notice that it always coincides with their own desires. Get that? I distrust people who know so well what God wants them to do because I notice that it always coincides with their own desires. Now, if Jonah was sitting there, what would he say? Jonah would stand up and say, not so, what are you talking about? I'm sure he would say, haven't you read my book? Haven't you read my life story? God told me to do something that I did not wish to do. God commanded me to do something completely opposite of what I wanted to do. God does not see things my way. And when he commanded me, I was miserable. It was a disagreeable word that came to me. And really, you know, just the thought came to me that the book of Jonah has more to do with the prophet's struggle to swallow the great word of the Lord than it does with the prophet being swallowed by a great fish. You know, sometimes I think, you know, we think that if we're listening to the word of the Lord and it disturbs us, it's disagreeable to us, we just say to ourselves, it can't be from the Lord. If it challenges our lifestyle, if it challenges our ideas about God and people, if it runs contrary to some cherished belief or something we really want to do, we say, oh, that can't be from the Lord. I don't have any peace when I hear that. And, you know, often I think we say to ourselves, if only I knew the word of the Lord, everything, if only I knew the will of God, everything would work out just fine and it would be easy for me to know what to do with my life. Don't we say that? Don't we often think that if only I knew the will of the Lord, it would be all easy. It would all come together. Well, what is Jonah saying here? He's saying not at all. Sometimes the word of the Lord comes to you and it's a disturbing word, contradicts everything that you want to do. Wow. So if people are saying the word of the Lord is always positive and affirming and it makes me feel good about myself, Jonah would have to say, sorry, that's Oprah's word. That's not the word of the Lord. You know, the word that the Lord gave to Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, 40 more days and the city will be overthrown. Do you think that was a positive word? No pressure put upon the Ninevites? So Jonah says, look, if you're really open to hearing the word of the Lord, you have to understand that sometimes what he's going to say to you is going to contradict what you want to hear, what you hope is going to be easy and agreeable with you and compliment you. It doesn't always work out that way. Here's a verse from Paul, 2 Timothy 4:2. Listen to what he says. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, he goes on to say this. The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. See Paul's warning there? People are going to want to hear what they want to hear. They really will be gods. They will determine the word of the Lord. And they will say, only what makes me feel good, only what is consistent with my culture, only what is consistent with my desires will be for me the word of the Lord. You know, there's a saying, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself, but because it contradicts them. That is the word of the Lord. And you know, sometimes preachers, pastors, they're judged not by whether their message is true or false, whether it's from the Lord or not, whether it's consistent with Scripture or not, but whether it's positive, whether it's happy, whether it's tolerant, whether it includes, you know, people's preferences, and it's uplifting, it's traditional. But once it challenges us, we just have this issue that it can't be from the Lord. Well, Jonah would say, that's not my experience. It's not the experience of the people of God. You know, that's why it's so much easier to be a TV Christian. You know, a person who just stays home, listens to whatever their favorite radio programs or their TV, you know, they can always control what they hear. If there's something that they don't like, they can just go to a different channel. But when you come to a community, a church service, you have to hear what the Lord has laid on my heart as I'm trying to be faithful to the Word of God. Now, you can still tune me out. But the point is that, you know, it's what the Lord is laying on somebody else's heart, so you have no control. You have no idea what I'm going to say. It's more risky. So he experiences the word of the Lord as disturbing and disagreeable. If you're a believer in Christ, all right, do not judge the word of God simply by whether it's always positive and happy and makes you feel good and affirms what you want to do. Now, thank God it doesn't end there. There may be, again, some people who's, you know, they're in the total opposite camp. You're right. You know, I always look forward to hearing the word of judgment and hellfire. Get them, sinners. That's really the word of God. That's when I know that God is really speaking. And again, if Jonah was sitting around that table having a conversation with other people, he would say, friend, you're wrong. There is nothing more comforting and encouraging than the word of the Lord. You know, it's about God. He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. You know, Jonah ran away not because the word of the Lord was threatening. He liked that part. But because God left room for repentance and forgiveness and mercy, right? And so in chapter 2, Jonah recounts his experience and finds great comfort in the word of the Lord. Now, the words that Jonah uses in this psalm, in chapter 2, he has taken these words almost word for word from Psalm 18:6, 31:22, 88:6. So Jonah had the word of the Lord already memorized in him, and he's going through this difficult time, and he remembers those words, and it gives him great comfort. On the road to Emmaus, the disciples were so downcast. And what did the Lord do? He brought them back to the word of the Lord, and he encouraged them. And again, there is no storm that we can be in our lives that the Lord's word cannot give us encouragement. Sometimes when we are discouraged, when we are depressed, we just run away. We don't want to talk to anybody. We don't want anybody to to communicate with us. We just want to be left alone in our misery. And, you know, sometimes I just, when people, you know, they don't answer the phone, they don't want anybody to talk to, I say, friend, you have no idea what you're doing. Because if you open yourself up to people who want to bring you the word of God, it will bring you so much encouragement. You'll be amazed what the word of the Lord can offer you in those times of discouragement. But yet we run away from the Lord and run away from the word of God. But there's so much comfort in it, just to know that he will never leave us, never forsake us, that he has promised us eternal life, that he promises us forgiveness. There is no book on this earth that can encourage people who are downcast like the Bible. There is no word, because it's the word of the Lord. He knows how to encourage people. And for those who need to be encouraged or need guidance in their life, and that's a form of encouragement, again, the word of the Lord gives to Jonah encouragement and guidance. Just, you know, don't run away from the word of God. Don't close it. Don't shut it. Don't ignore it. It's got so much guidance, so much encouragement for all of us. Now, again, some might say, oh, the word of God. I know what the word says, but I'm sure that when the time comes, the Lord will change his mind. I know what the Lord told me a few years ago, and I'm sure the Lord won't be asking me the same thing. You know, again, Jonah would be somebody who could speak to that through his own experience about the word of the Lord being settled and unchanging. You know, Jonah ran away the first time he heard the word of the Lord. And then he gets swallowed up by the great fish brings him, the great fish brings him back to where God would have him to be. And Jonah might say, all right, Lord, what is it that you want me to do now? What's the Lord going to say? Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. Lord, really? You still haven't changed your mind? Lord, you know how difficult that area is for me. Jonah, I will not change my mind on this one. And so often we do that with the Lord. We hear him speak to us, we disobey, we run away, and then years later we come back to him and say, okay, God, what is it you want me to do? It's still going to be there. He's still going to tell us the same thing. So we should not despise the repetition of the word of the Lord, because God will always come back and give us the same word. Friends, it's eternal. God's not going to change his word. What you see here, if Jesus were to come back today, he would still be speaking the same word 2,000 years later. It will not change. What he said then, he will say today. Nothing has changed. Hell is still there. The way to salvation is still through Christ and the cross. Nothing has changed. Now, another person might say, the word of the Lord is personal. I hide it in my heart. I meditate on it day and night. And for me, this is the sum total of my responsibility with the word of God. And Jonah would applaud that. He would applaud that people are taking the word of God seriously into their own life and memorizing it, and say it's going to benefit you in times of trouble. But then he would go on to say that there's something else about the word of God, and it can't be simply private, a private word. He said, when the Lord gave me his word, It was to teach others. It was to preach to others. It was to bring his word to other people. It wasn't a word simply for me to keep completely to myself. And Paul would completely understand this. He said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel." It's a word that must go out. Here's what the Lord says to Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. "Sovereign Lord, I don't know how to speak. I am but a child. But the Lord said to me, 'Don't say I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you and say whatever I command you. Don't be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you,' declares the Lord." And then the Lord reached out his hand and he touched my mouth and he said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, and to build and plant." They were given the awesome responsibility to preach and to teach and to proclaim the word of the Lord. And as we read here, they were to say exactly what the Lord had given to them to say. And to Jonah, "Proclaim to it the message that I will give you." You ever want to change God's message? Just make it just more reasonable, make it more palatable. I think each of us has this desire to just avoid certain things in the Word of God. We would prefer not to preach the message that has been given to us. Remember what it says about the Greeks? "The Greeks seek wisdom, Jews seek a sign, but we preach the gospel. Foolishness to men." I understand why people don't want to preach the gospel and would prefer to talk logically about science and about other things. Of course, there's room for that. But the gospel is foolishness to people. We're afraid that people will look at us as fools. And so we would prefer to neglect the gospel. But Jonah would say, listen, when God gives us a word, that word is the word that we must pass on to people. We cannot make up our own words just to please people. Now, I love what William Gladstone once said. "There's only one great issue, and that is to get the truths of the Bible into the hearts of the people." What a great line. That's the great challenge. Now, let me also address one more thought, one more attitude, one more issue. For me, I don't read the Word of God, someone might say. There it is on my shelf. It's been there for years, gathering dust. It's of no great importance to me. I'll let other people read it. I don't need to read it myself. It's optional for me. What would Jonah the prophet say? What would the Lord say? Let's think about that for a while. Did God, the Creator, the Savior, give to humanity his word so that we could neglect it, ignore it, let his word gather dust, show no respect towards it, no honor? If God has spoken, if the word of the Lord has come to us, what then should we do with the word of God? Ask a Ninevite. Ninevite, what if the word of God never came to you? What if you decided to ignore and neglect and turn away from the word of God? What would have happened? And they would have said, it's because we heard the word of God that we repented and that we believed on God. And the wrath of God passed us and we were saved because we heard and responded to the word of God. If the Ninevites were here and sitting around the table, they would say, do not ignore and neglect the word of God. And if he speaks to you today, do not harden your heart. It is the word of God. Jonah would say it, the Ninevites would say it, and I believe that we should say it as well. Now, on a final note, chapter 3, verse 3, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and he went to Nineveh. There's good news here. You know, Jonah's somebody who could say, I turned my back on the word of God. I rejected it, rebelled against it. But praise be to God that the word of God came back to me, that no matter where I am, the word of the Lord still is speaking to me. He communicated with me, and he guided me. And here's what's important when I read this verse. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. That's describing his life now. When you come back to the Lord, that has to describe your life. From here on in, I will obey the word of the Lord. I will be under his word. No matter if we've messed up, no matter if we've rebelled, no matter if we've turned our backs on the Lord, the word of the Lord came back to Jonah. And what is important? Jonah is now where God wants him to be. Jonah is now where God wants him to be. When you're running away from God and running away from the word of God, you are not where God wants you to be. Jonah is now obeying the word of the Lord, and he's in a place where now he is where God wants him to be. Jonah is now doing what God wants him to do. He wanted him to preach, and Jonah is now doing that. And Jonah is now speaking the words of the Lord. Do you see that? He's where God wants him to be. He's doing what God wants him to do. And he's speaking the words that God wants him to speak. Friends, we have a great God and we have a great word. Let us repent if we've been neglecting to read the word, to study the word, to love the word of God, because it speaks to us and points us to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us value this word as a church, as individuals, and may we, in speaking it out into our culture, may we also experience what Jonah experienced, the power of God's word to transform people's lives, to transform a city, to transform a culture. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we've heard that it's your word so often that we just sometimes don't take it to heart. It really is your word. It's eternal, it's everlasting. And you will always fulfill your word and your promises and your threats. Father God, I pray that we may receive your word. We live in a culture that does not respect it. But I pray that we as your people would. And I thank you for the promises that are there. I thank you for the guidance that we can find. I thank you for the comfort that is there. And I thank you, Lord, that you challenge us. And you will not let us go into a wrong path. But most of all, I thank you because it points us to Jesus. And it reminds us of the great sacrifice on our behalf. What we could not do of ourselves, God has done for us. And this is the great command. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Thank you for your great, gracious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.